I see your dirty face high behind your collar. What is done?
Welcome back to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. We are on the air. We are broadcasting live. Blaine's Farm and Fleet out here in Oak Creek on Rawson Avenue. Come by and please, can you drop off a new unwrapped toy for us or make a monetary donation? We love that too. We set an all-time high in money last year. I don't even know what the record was, but I know we shattered the record last year. And last year was also really big in toy donations. So if you can please come down and help us out, we beg you at this point. We got 2 days left, and we're a little bit behind on both. So please come down and drop off a new unwrapped toy. Hey, picture this. You and a friend sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers. 50-yard line, Lambeau Field. Hell, maybe you're going to hear Mike McCarthy even giving you one of his footwork explanations before it's all said and done.
Footwork.
Enter the Cousin Subs Best Seats in the House promotion. You could win a chance to kick back in the 50-yard line in style. And it's all because of Cousin Subs. Go to Packers.com/best seats. That's Packers.com/best seats. And get yourself the best seats in the house. Compliments of our friends over at Cousin Subs, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Joining us here in thank you very much. There you go. Joining us here in the Bears studios, the Bears Sunroom studios. At Blaine's Farm and Fleet, Andrew Wagner of the Sports Exchange hanging out with us. How you been, man?
It's warm in here.
It's like 100 degrees.
Yeah.
Apparently, the heater broke. So, excuse me. And I don't have a cough button here, so I'm sorry about that. The heater broke, so the switch on the heater has to stay on and on high all the time. So now you either have zero heat if you turn it off, and then to turn it back on is like a bear. Apparently, Bart Winkler earlier today, who was down here.
Shocking this involves Winkler.
Yeah, exactly. So he turned it on. It's propane, by the way. We've got a propane heater inside the hut. We got a little vent out the top so we don't die of carbon monoxide poisoning. Apparently, he tried to turn it on, had it turned on, kept hitting the starter, the igniter. It wouldn't ignite. The room filled with propane.
Oh, my gosh.
And it looked like when the you know, Chevy Chase tried to light the fire on vacation. And the whole thing was smoking in here. The little ceiling fan that's in here, which, by the way, this is a beautiful little sunroom.
Yeah.
The ceiling fan in here did its job in clearing the smoke and the aftermath, but for the most part, we almost had to call the fire department back, not for a toy drive, but to help put us out.
Leave it to Winkler.
That thing stays on high all the time. My pants are wet from sweating, so... yeah, I've got some issues over here. How you been?
I'm good. I'm good. Living the dream.
Now
waiting
the,
for
season's kind of wound down a little bit.
Yeah, got a little break and trying to ease myself into buck season. So it's going to be an interesting couple of months for these Brewers.
It's Friday. You're going to find out who they want to keep and who they don't want to keep.
The big question is Jonathan Scope.
Jonathan Scope. Do you think they should keep him?
You know what? I think so. I know it's an unpopular opinion, but listen, we know that if you're an observer of baseball, you know that Jonathan Scope is not as bad as he looked as an overall player over those last 2 months with the Brewers. I mean, here's a guy who was, I think, the reigning American League Player of the Month when they got him, or Player of the Week, something of that nature. A guy who'd been in the All-Star game, a guy who got MVP votes a year before, something David Stearns alluded to just last week.
Right.
You know, it's not a long-term commitment. He's obviously going to get paid, and your budget is going to be a little tighter this year. But on a one-year stopgap until Keston Hira can come up, I don't think it's a bad way to take a gamble or to take a waiver on him or take a chance on him.
Yeah. If you look at his career numbers, you would say this when he came – because he just started to really hit his average in July. And then the trade was made, and he never recovered after that. And I was listening to Brian Anderson yesterday talk about how he remembers him in the playoffs not too long ago, and he was just raking. So maybe last year when he came over to the Brewers was an apparition. You go away, you hit the reset button, you come back, and you're good to go. Kind of the same way Arcia did. Arcia goes down in the middle of the year. He was terrible. I kept saying, there's no way you can allow this guy to continue to try to struggle through this and try to become a hitter in the majors. You got to go down to the minors to become a hitter and then come back. And sure enough, Saladino comes on, then he gets hurt, and, you know, timing is what it is. He goes on and has a terrific postseason, really one of the MVPs of the postseason. So maybe Scope hits the reset button in the offseason, but that's going to be the big decision coming up on Friday.
And I think it's a smart investment. If you're looking strictly for – if you're looking at the big picture and not just, okay, 2019, we need to build on what we did, because, yes, they do want to build on what they did in 2018 – but Stearns has said from day one, this is about long-term. You're trying to get to the guy that you think is going to be your long-term solution at second base. So by bringing Scope back on a one-year deal, obviously, it leaves you the window. You don't have to worry about a log jam when Keston's ready to go because newsflash, as Adam McKelvey so accurately described, the man can hit.
Yeah.
So I think they're probably going to be inclined to bring him back depending on what the rest of the market looks like and what their budget numbers look like. And that's the interesting thing to watch this year. I mean, after bringing Kratz back, they're at about $69 million, almost $70 million for next year. Mm-hmm. This team has only gone over $100 million twice. They have 12 more arbitration players.
I kept saying, you know, look, I'm looking at a number of $120 to $150 million.
And that very well might be. I mean, they're going to go up there.
They kept saying money was not going to be the object.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that was not going to be the stumbling block for this team. So either it is or it isn't.
Yep.
If you've been telling everybody it's not, then in essence you've been lying to everybody. Now, I don't expect them to end up with $250, $300 million
right.
payroll. But if you can go to 120,
yep. I think they're going to pay their guys. But for those thinking that David Stearns is going to go out and pull another surprise blockbuster like he did on January 25th last year when he got Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain, I don't see them making a big splash unless they end up parting with some of their core guys. But, yeah, I think the money is going to be spent. I think it's going to be spent on their own guys that they can lock in for the long term. And I think they're going to ride those young pitchers. They're not going to make a splash on the free agent pitching or even the trade pitching market because.
Do you think though they need a starter? They need to get one starter.
I don't.
That's where the argument lies.
Right.
Everybody.
I don't think so because I think the system that Craig employed last year worked marvelously in that situation, but it also had a secondary effect where all of a sudden now. You've gotten Brandon Woodruff, you've gotten Freddy Peralta, you've gotten, you know, who else is in that mix down the stretch. You've
Chase
gotten,
Anderson is still available. Yep. He's another guy.
You've gotten all those young guys, important, crucial, pressure-packed experience, and you didn't, you know, hand the ball and say, go out there, I need you to stay out there for seven innings. They can take the ball now and walk out there and go five. I don't think they need to go out and get a starter. I think if the situation arises where they find one that fits the budget and fits the model, okay, David Stearns has always shown he's going to listen.
You grab another Wade Miley type
right.
of deal, you know?
You know, that's the key thing to watch with the pitching is how these guys come back without Derek Johnson. How much of a factor was he? But I just don't think the pitching staff, the starting rotation, is as big of a need as people want to make it out to be.
The Milwaukee Bucks got a nice win last night against a very inferior team. We knew Jabari was going to try to bring it. He ended up with, what, 28 last night, I think,
yeah.
Something like that. But in the grand scheme of things, the Bucks have had some up and downs. They've played some rather porous defense, but everything is predicated upon their offense, and when they're not hitting their shots, they seem to struggle. But give me your thoughts on the Bucks so far this season.
They looked like world beaters for the first seven games, and since then they've looked up and down. This habit of, you know, wow, another big box. Holy cow. Falling into those big holes
early. That is
awesome.
That is freaking awesome.
That is amazing.
Thank
you,
awesome.
Sir. You're falling into those big double-digit deficits early is not a good habit to get into. And I admittedly have not watched as much of the Bucks as I have in years past, so I cannot give expert analysis. But the struggles they've had against inferior teams, I mean, the two games against the Bulls, they won. And they won in rather impressive fashion. That second half, that monstrous second half in the first meeting, and then coming back last night, getting that big offensive rebound at the end, the tap out, and coming down to win on the Middleton shot. But those two games, the loss at home to Phoenix, you know, it's a little disconcerting. Because, you know, you look at their record, they're the second-best team in the East, and you think, okay, this team is cruising. Some of that I guess you can attribute to maybe still trying to find their way under Budenholzer. But when you're falling behind early like that and falling behind big like that, that's got to scratch the head a little bit.
When the shot isn't falling, we understand this team's going to struggle. And I think Malcolm Brogdon said it best to us last year that, you know, guys really feed off of the offense more so than defense feeding to the offensive side. By the way, that was Andrew from Midwest Structure Engineering who dropped off the two giant boxes of toys. So, Andrew, thank you so much. And everybody over at Midwest Structure Engineering, thanks for giving us a hand on the toy drive because that donation was huge. And we can't do this, like I said, without you. So please keep it coming. It's been a great day so far, and hopefully we can keep it going because we're just getting the ball starting to roll downhill here as the latter portion of the week sinks in. Talk about the new additions, because I really like what Brook Lopez brings to the table. It's not It's not huge. It just, you know what Connaughton reminds me of is like a poor man's Darvin Ham.
Yeah, I referred him to John Barry, who was like our favorite buck back when I was a young teenager, the guy that goes out there and hustles and does all those little things. I like the additions. And you know what? I openly admit, I kind of mock them when, you know, 3 minutes into free agency, the Bucks announce they've signed Ersan Ilyasova, and then they go out and they get Lopez. And I'm like, really? These are the guys that you're going to put around Giannis? But, man, they have fit into Budenholzer's system so well, and what they bring to the table. I mean, you know, obviously Lopez is knocking down three-pointers like Steph Curry sometimes, but the things that they do that they don't show up on the score sheet are so big on this team and are a huge reason for winning.
Budenholzer's kind of changed the culture. I talk about what you see out of Budenholzer. We've heard from Giannis. We've heard some of the guys that say it's just kind of a pleasure to play. My biggest question is going to be, how great is it going to be when you hit that adversity? Not that they haven't hit a little bit here as of late, but what happens when they finally hit some adversity and the happiness kind of gets sucked out of the building for a little while?
He seems like the right guy. I mean, he seems like his style of criticism is different than his predecessor. I mean, we've heard, I think it was Giannis say, you know, Jason would come in and yell at us if we were down at halftime, but he seems like a guy that knows when to put his foot to the pedal, knows when to go to the whip, knows all those cliches. He seems like the guy that knows the time and the place to get on your guys and to kind of give them a little bit of freedom. So I think they'll be able to handle it fine. He seems like the right guy for the job. He seems like the right guy for this group. And I think that's the important thing because, you know, a coach can be great, but if you put him in with the wrong style of players, and I don't mean attitude-wise, just skill set, these guys have the skill set that works to Budenholzer's style and vice versa. He's got the style that works to their skill set. So I think they'll be able to work through a rough patch with him kind of steering the ship.
We got 20 seconds. Who makes the bigger splash, Bucks at the trade deadline or Brewers in the offseason?
I think it's a toss, but I give a slight edge to the Brewers just because the Bucks got that their salary cap situation is kind of tight. So
maybe in the offseason for the Bucks,
yeah,
they
I think so.
Up, but yeah, I would kind of tend to agree with you. Always good to see you, man. How you doing? Everything else good?
Yeah, it's good. My dad's actually listening for this first time, and he says I sound intelligent. Dad, it's 11 in the morning. Put down the bottle, man.
Dad's a drinker. There we go.
He's hitting it.
We've got a lot more broadcasting live down here at Blaine's Farm and Fleet. 3 hours yet to go. Come on down. We're here until 6 o'clock tonight, 6A to 6P tomorrow. This is our final push. We can't do it without you. Please come out and help us out. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.